Good morning. Good morning. Whoa. You know, it's said that we need to hear something, what, 10 times, 20 times to really get it. And between what's been said this morning, Britt, Robert, this amazing song, it's all the same, isn't it? We're here. Who are we? What do we want? Let's move towards it. The first time I spoke here several years ago, I shared with you something that my mother used to say. We didn't have any religion in our home, but I felt like we had a lot of spirit. And when she would talk about God, rather than use that word God, she would say, "It loves to happen. It loves to happen." And as I spent time in working with different ministries, and especially here at Unity of New York, it's so clear that it, that movement, that energy, that godness, that love, that creativity loves to happen. And we can't not let it happen. It's almost more work, isn't it, to resist it, to push it down. But when we just let that natural juiciness of life, of your body, of your mind, of your spirit move, it's just, it's delicious. Once upon a time, twins were conceived in the same womb. Listen carefully. Weeks passed and the twins developed, and as their awareness grew, they laughed for joy. Isn't it great that we were conceived? Isn't it great to be alive? Together, the twins explored their world in the womb. When they found their mother's cord that gave them life, they sang for joy. How great is our mother's love that she shares her own life with us. As weeks stretched into months, the twins noticed how much each was changing. "What does it mean?" asked the one. "It means that our stay in this world is drawing to an end," said the other. "I want to stay here always. It's so nice." "We have no choice," said the other. "But maybe there is life after birth." "But how can there be?" responded the other. "We will shed our life cord, and how is it possible without it? Besides, we've seen evidence that there were others here before us, and none of them have returned to tell us what life is like after birth." "No, this is the end, I'm sure." And so the one fell into deep despair, saying, "If conception ends in birth, what is the purpose of life in the womb? It's meaningless. Maybe there's not mother after all." "But there has to be," protested the other. "How else did we get here? How do we remain alive?" "Have you ever seen our mother?" said the one. "Maybe she lives only in our minds. Maybe we made her up because the idea made us feel good." So the very last days in the womb were filled with deep questioning, with fear. Finally, the moment of birth arrived, and when the twins had passed from their world, they opened their eyes and cried for joy, for what they saw exceeded their fondest dreams. Oh. Isn't that beautiful? I had the honor, the privilege of being with my mother in her last days and was able to witness and midwife and love this amazing process of letting go. And there's so many stories about dying. There's so many feelings we have. There's so many emotions. There's so much that's mixed up with what was unsaid and what happened. And sometimes we lose that beautiful transition. And what I saw so clearly, and it changed my life forever, this was in October of 2007. I saw as she let go. And at one point, I saw it was happening, and I put my hands on her legs to urge her forward, and I brought her back in. So I left her side and went and sat on the other side of the room. But what I saw so clearly, especially through that last day, was a labor process. I witnessed her going into labor and then being born somewhere else as she left here. And you know when you know that you know that you know something? And I cried for joy because it was so beautiful and it was such a relief and it was so natural. I mean, that's what happens. It's not horrible. It's what's natural. And to be able to see transition that way. So what do we do with this one wild and precious life in between one death and another, in between one birth and another? I bet, like me, we have several Mary Oliver fans here, would you say? Yes? All right. This poem is called This Summer Day, and I'll just read from the last part, and that's where I really was inspired with the title of this lesson. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and oh too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Transitions, right? Transition. We're always, always in the midst of one or another. Summer's coming to a close. The autumn equinox is this coming Wednesday, when the sun's rays shine exactly on the equator and everyone on the planet has 12 hours of sunlight and 12 hours of night. And those who follow the Jewish tradition and engrossed in this new year that began last week with the two-day observance of Rosh Hashanah, culminating in Yom Kippur this coming week, which begins right on the equinox on Tuesday at sunset until Wednesday at sunset, this day of atonement, this day of at-oneness, at-one-ment, that time of reckoning, self-reckoning, of what's this past year been like? What am I ready to let go of and say it's done? Not that I need to repent or anything like that, because we don't do that in unity, right? We don't look at sin as something we did wrong. We look at, ooh, on track, off track, come back on track. We know that sin is an ancient archery word for missing the mark, that's all. And you know that on that day of Yom Kippur is also the day that our President Obama hosts Pope Francis. So here we are in the midst of a very important, as they all are, transition right here at Unity of New York. And after all, you know how it is you get to teach what it is you need to learn? Well, I'm a certified transition consultant. I mean, that's hysterical to me. Me who hangs on to everything. You know, when I was a child in bubble baths, I would have a ceremony, a ritual with the bubbles before the last ones went off. It was like, oh no, something's going to be different. Something's going to change. Your founding minister last year heeded his call for transition, for change, and your board and your leadership team and Paul wisely decided to use this as a fruitful time, a time of rediscovery. Oh, I told them that, you know. They told me in school, tie your hands down, but, you know, I can't do it. Because we want to dispel that discomfort of things not being the way they were. We want to be able to count on something. We want to quickly fill the hole. We want to swiftly do something rather than nothing, rather than live in the tension of the unknown. We're open and receptive to whatever new is coming toward us, and yet at the same time, I want things to stay the same. I want to wake up in the morning and not know what I'm going to do and be open to going with the flow, as Britt so wisely reminds us. And yet at the same time, I want to have my routine and those things I can just sink into and let go and just know. And what's so interesting to me always is living in that middle. Not the one that the or the other, but to hold it all in that living in the tension, as we call it. living in that wonder of I want this, and yet at the same time I want that. I need this, and at the same time I need that. I yearn and long for this, and yet at the same time I yearn and long for that. And it's never an either or an or. It's inclusion. So not you. So you wise souls sitting in these seats and those working hard behind the scenes, you know, got to work. Britt doing this amazing job of scheduling Sundays and speakers and classes and workshops and engaging me to bring this series of processes of opportunities to really discern who are you now? What is it that wants to be expressed as Unity of New York now? Because you did this incredible work over these 16 years since the founding of moving and changing and shifting and discerning and people coming and going. And here we are now built on this incredible foundation. And how do we use all that to what's next? What is spirit, God, what is it that Unity of New York is now that wants to be expressed and lived out? But we also looked at what might be lingering from the past. That's that which is useful, but also that's unresolved, some of these issues. And so we began, as was mentioned, with an Eye of the Storm workshop, and that was followed up with an Eye of the Storm class that was presented by your licensed Unity teachers, who are so incredible, Lewis and Britt and Kathy. Remembering that no one and no thing is against you, that the universe is on your side, and that whenever that self-talk goes on, it's an opportunity to look in the mirror, an opportunity to look at conflict as a great thing, because it shows us where our growing edge is, not something to quench. And what's so wonderful is to get to do this work in community. You're not alone. None of us are doing this alone. That idea of meaning making, that we make something mean. I was counseling with a couple about a wedding the other night, and they were talking about they wanted a candle thing, but they want to be married outside in the evening and they want a candle. And I said, let's not do a candle, because a candle, when we do that, usually goes out, and then people make it mean something, you know? The candle went out and they haven't even said I do yet. You know, the stuff that we make up, it's crazy. What we make something mean. So we got to look at that in Eye of the Storm. And then I came back, and Reverend Elizabeth Longo worked with me, and we brought Hopkoff. Isn't that great? Hopkoff. Honoring our past, co-creating our future. And we looked at, like, everything that had happened from the first inception of Unity of New York. And we had a reconciliation circle the next day. And we looked at the history, the herstory of this community, the vitality. But, again, what's lingering? What needs to be addressed so everyone has their voice? And so we really came up with a very democratic, exciting way of working, of three main issues that wanted to be addressed, that the universe was reminding us needed to be addressed. Financial transparency. People wanted, you wanted and needed to know what's going on, because there's been a lot of history here, right? A lot of, you know, and people need and want to know, because it's your church. It's your unity. You wanted a greater communication between the leadership, the board, and you, the membership, and the congregant, and the community. So that's been happening. Both those things have been happening through letters and emails and blasts and town hall meetings, where anything that needed to be addressed could be addressed. And lastly, this idea of inclusivity, that you wanted your voice heard, that you felt, several of you felt, that things happened and were decided and you had no say. And sometimes we want it like that, don't we? We just want mom or dad to just handle it, and we just show up. And those of us who want that, that's great. But other of us, as we grow and mature, we want to have our voice be a part of the greater voice. And so the way we addressed that was with our sacred conversations. And we began that last spring, moving at the rate of guidance. And we used the model of appreciative inquiry, which is this idea of, let's look at what gives life to an organization. We could say this works and that doesn't work. And we do that, but when we focus on what gives life, What's the greatest time we've had here? When have we felt most alive? Something shifts. We know that words are important. We know that thoughts are important. And so we use that model, and something incredible happened. More than 30 of you showed up on a day in June to be trained as interviewers. That's an amazing thing. And then you went out and interviewed these sacred conversations, these well-crafted questions, and we ended up with 168 conversations. That's really something, isn't it? So just so you could see, would all the interviewers stand up for a moment, those of you here who were the interviewers? Wait, stay standing, because you also were interviewed. Who of you were part of the 168 who were interviewed? Would you stand up? Yeah. Thank you. You know, anybody, anytime can have a sacred conversation. And it's very prayerful. It's very wonderful. Everyone that I talked to was so surprised at what an amazing, heart-opening experience that was. So, of course, that generated lots of material, because we asked lots of questions, really focusing a lot on what do you see in the future, but really, what do you see as the vision now? What do you see as the mission now? What do you see as the core values of this community? What's important to you as you move on? Because really, according to your bylaws and in accordance with Unity Worldwide Ministries, what you'll be doing is continuing this process and looking for and hiring a new senior minister. And you'll hear more about that in a few minutes. But to do that, to ensure a right and perfect match, we had to have this time of discovery. And then this incredible team led by Anne Marie and Becca Bean last week just sat down. Would those coders please stand? Because you are amazing what you did. Yeah. Thank you. And went through all that material, and it was a lot, 168, 3 or 4 page document, and just pulled out those important statements and words that are really vital to this community. And then yesterday at our sacred summit, which I have to say, those of you who were there, it was hot, it was long, it was tedious, but it was so spirit-filled and so beautiful, because we took some of the information that was generated around vision and mission and core values that I'll share with you in a moment, and distilled it and culled it down even further. Because the point is, everybody matters. Every voice matters. Every one of you wants and needs to be heard. Every single one of you is what makes Unity of New York so great. And so you're entering into a new era of that, of not so much the focus being on who's on the platform or who's doing what, but on the mission. Who are you and what do you want to be? What kind of energy do you want to be in the world? How do you want people to see you? What's the highest and best challenge that you can hold so you're making a difference in this spiritual awakening on the planet? And that's the next step, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's growing up. And not to say anything has been wrong on the way here, but we have to do all that in our maturing and our growing. And as you can tell, I have a lot of energy and a lot of excitement about this. Um, 60 people showed up yesterday to sit and do this work. And we looked at the vision. Again, what is it you hope to become over time? What inspires and motivates? The mission, what do you do with the vision? See, the vision is this, you know, transformation of the planet. I mean, we could say that as a vision. But how do we do that? We come to classes. We come together. We hold our prayer work. And what are those values that are the underpinning? So I just wanted to share some of those, the main, because what we wanted to do was come up with the top five. And again, we need to do some more work with this. This is not finished. This is my last time with you here in person as a transitional ministry consultant, which is, again, so funny. But it means that the process, again, is just beginning, and you'll hear more about that a little in a few more minutes. But I just want to read these words to you because they're just so juicy. Vision, welcoming and inclusive. That was like the big one. for everybody to be welcoming and inclusive, unity principles, being of service, music, inspiring. The mission, again, how we do this, affirmative prayer, the music ministry, which is different than the music. The music ministry is what we all engage in, inspiring Sunday service. I rewrote this morning, and I can't read my writing. So, here we go, lifting collective consciousness, demonstrating, expressing, and teaching principles, values of integrity and honesty and love and loving and inclusivity and respect, prosperity consciousness, creativity. Doesn't that just get you excited? Because that's really what you're about. You know, Unity Worldwide Ministries, our sort of mother/father organization, changed their vision and mission statements a couple of years ago. And we're learning more about what vision and mission is, and I wanted to share that with you briefly. The vision of Unity Worldwide Ministries, a world powerfully transformed through the growing movement of shared spiritual awakening. A world powerfully transformed through the growing movement of shared spiritual awakening. And the mission, the way that is done, advancing the movement of spiritual awakening and transformation through unity, a positive path for spiritual living. And your current mission and vision is here in your bulletin. You can look at it with me, and that may or may not need to be shifted. That's something that's being worked on. The mission, creating our lives, living our dreams, the vision. Unity of New York is a joyful and dynamic ministry created to celebrate the realization of our oneness with God and each other. This loving and nurturing community is committed to expanding individual and universal awareness of wholeness, abundance, and creative expression as taught and demonstrated as our brother and teacher, Jesus the Christ. So that may or may not need to be tweaked. That's what's, again, is going on. So what I want you to know is that it's a process. Unity of New York is a process. God is a process. Nothing is, you know, the universe, the sun doesn't sit in the middle with all the planets going around it. It's continually moving and spiraling and moving on. And as the spiral continues, the gradient gets deeper. It gets much more exciting. I know that we want certainty, but our only certainty is change. Thierry de Chardin, a wonderful teacher, said there is almost a sensual longing for communion with others who have a larger vision. The immense fulfillment of the friendships between those engaged in furthering the evolution of consciousness has a quality almost impossible to describe. So what are you doing with your one wild and precious life? What I see you doing is thriving. And you are so very, very blessed. Shalom. Namaste.
Thank you, Sonia. Your wild and precious life. Are you willing to thrive? You don't have to answer out loud, obviously. The willingness to thrive, the willingness to be all that you are is all you need to set it in motion. And right now, I invite you to be willing to open your heart, to let the chair hold you up, and to remember how blessed you are. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
So blessed. So very, very blessed. And how amazing that we have the ability to decide where to put our thoughts. And so we move from listening and thinking and singing, we move into our own hearts. Our own being. And for me, that always begins with letting go in the physical body. It's been said that the body is not all there is, but it's all we can get our hands on. And so relax now. You're with family. You're with your people. You're with your God. And of course, because we're human, the thoughts and the planning, the assessing and the judging and discerning continues to chatter away. But because you have the ability, the privilege of deciding where to focus your thoughts, right now, you focus them on your own heart and your own breath. The Buddhists tell us that the heart is the seat of consciousness. And we know that consciousness is bigger than the body, larger than this room, that it's something cosmic. And so we are aligned with God mind. And so the voices in your head are beginning to fade a bit and being more aware of being here in this seat, in this place. Becoming aware of this refuge that you make for yourself inside yourself. I don't need to lead you on a nice path in the woods by a nice stream with pretty flowers and gentle birds chirping. There's a much better place than that. And that's in your own heart. And again, as I share some of these words that you can listen to or not, because you're in your own wonderful place of quiet. Allow them to resonate. Let them resonate in your bones. Welcoming. Unity of New York is welcoming. And inclusive. The principles of unity and truth are alive here. We are a place of service to ourselves first, as our daily word reminds us, and to each other and the world. we inspire and are inspired. We pray, and we pray by affirming the truth. We don't beg or beseech. We know there is one presence and one power active in the universe and in our lives. And we know that the music is like praying twice or 10 times, and that it inspires us with its beauty. That we are a collective consciousness. It's not just me or you. It's us. And we hold dear our integrity, honesty, authenticity, with our love and our loving. And we include everybody with respect. So with that, we cannot help but have a consciousness of prosperity, knowing that the abundance of divine ideas are the most important thing in our bank accounts. And we find creative ways to use these ideas to manifest and express. We truly do create our lives and live our dreams. Oh, God is so good. Take a moment now in this blessed silence, in the silence. Oh, the blessing to be quiet together. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as you gently allow your eyes to open, you continue to give thanks and know that the good will only get gooder. And so it is.